Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Last month, we talked about the vision is Jesus, and we talked about how right now in the world, there's a lot of chaos, there's a lot of odd things happening, and war and oppression and suffering, and that is the exact environment that Jesus chose to come in 2,000 years ago to be a Savior, and it's the exact environment that he chooses to come every day in our lives. Who's been just rocked a little bit by the news this week? There's been a lot. Maybe just me, but that's all right. I'll lift my arm. It's been a wild week, especially in our country. And so before I even get into this, I just wanted to say a prayer for our country, a prayer for anyone who's been affected by the accidents that have happened. And I just want to do that together. Can we do that? So Jesus, we just thank you that you promised to never leave us. And God, we ask right now for your comfort. It says in the Bible that you are our comforter. And God, we ask for your Holy Spirit comfort to be with every family, every individual, and even our country as a whole, as we go through mourning and some confusion and just fear. God, we thank you that you are not a God of fear. You are a God of love, and perfect love takes away all fear. So we just ask for that in every town and with every family. In Jesus' name, amen. So today launches our 2025 Church Vision Series, and it's called Hungry Homes. So if you didn't eat breakfast today, you're right on track. I thought it was great because I think normally you would talk about hunger during a fast, but today ends our fast. So yes, we got some excitement on that. And if you were able to be with us, you know, all the way through the fast, that's awesome. Maybe it was your first time doing that. And if this is your first time here and you're like, what are you talking about? We did 21 days of just intentionally seeking God. And that looked different for each of us, but we had different prayer themes every day. And it was just an opportunity to come to God and to really set him as a first priority for the new year. And so coming out of the fast, we're now going to talk about hunger and what it looks like to be hungry for God. Every Sunday this month, we're going to unpack a different element of our church vision for the year. So some of it will be more practical, and then some of it will be, well, it's all going to be practical because I don't like being impractical here, but it'll be more physical. Some of it will be more spiritual, and there'll be opportunities to get involved for the rest of the year with some initiatives that we're going to be doing together. So our overall church vision statement is thriving homes transform cities. And one of our church advisors, when we came up with that, I was like, I want to paint it on the wall. And he was like, do not put anything on your wall until you've lived it out for at least a year, because otherwise you're going to be repainting. Who just like paints every year? Do we have anyone like that? Nobody. Okay, well, there used to be a lot. Can we just like all like move or something? I don't know. Are we all cold? I don't know. It's okay. Like, you don't have to move in church, but I'm trying to make sure we're all here. I'm cold, so I need to make sure we're all here together. We used to have someone in our church who remained completely nameless, but they moved away. But it's a very respectful thing, I will say. They were very good with design. The problem was, I saw it as a problem, but I don't know if they did. But they like always had new designs. So like it was always a new color, or you know, moving the furniture around or something like that. And so that can happen, right? But thriving homes, transforming cities. We will put it on the wall here at some point because that's our overall vision. But this year, we're going to take that vision and we're going to kind of go deep and unpack it for 2025 specifically. So how many know that if you have a teenager, that you have a hungry home? Anybody? There we go. All right. We're alive today. Or if you have a child, you've got a hungry home, right? For those of you who don't know, I think I've told this story probably too frequently, but when I was a teenager, obviously I grew pretty fast, and I once ate a foot and a half sub and was still hungry. much to the horror of my best friend's family, because they were all a little bit more petite than I was, and even the dad was like slightly mortified because his teenage son wasn't eating that much. So, you know, if you've got a teenager and they're growing, they eat, right? But if you love Jesus and if you've got a growing relationship with him, there's a hunger that becomes burning in you. And, you know, some seasons that hunger can kind of dampen out because of life and just circumstances, but this is a year where my prayer is our church would be known for its hunger for God. It would be known for its cry for God. And I want to encourage you that if you're here today and you don't remember what hunger feels like, that God is pouring out a new level of hunger, a new level of desire for him that looks different than anything before. And I want to encourage you to build your faith up for that. Amen. So before we talk about hunger today, I want to define what a home is, because our series is called Hungry Homes. And so some of us grew up in extreme poverty or just poverty in general, and a hungry home isn't what you want to talk about for a month. And so I want to make sure that we understand what I'm talking about when we talk about that. So home defined, we're defining it as the human heart or the place that has the most influence in your life. How many know if you work like 80 to 90 hours a week, home might not actually be your house, right? And I hope you find that out before your kids grow up and you realize that maybe your home wasn't where you thought it was, right? And so it's good to be aware of where is the place that has the most influence in my life. It doesn't mean the most time, but the most influence. How many know a little mustard seed of faith can do more than hours and hours and hours elsewhere, right? And so God can do more in an hour than we can in a lifetime apart from him, but it does mean that we have given him that place of influence in our life. So a home is the most influential place in someone's life, no matter their age. And the Bible calls this space the heart or the center of our lives. So in the New Testament, the word home is actually only used in two places, one to describe God's home in us and one to describe God's home for us, which I think is really awesome. So the two verses are John 14:23. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." And then John 14:2, "In my Father's house or home are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." I love this because that means, according to the New Testament and Jesus, our home in God always points to heaven in us and then heaven for eternity when we get to heaven, right? Does that make sense? So it's really awesome when we think of a hungry home, we're thinking of God's home in us, in our heart, in our place of influence, and then also for eternity. So our key verse this morning is Matthew 5:6. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those. Who wants to be one of those? Amen? I love the word bless here. It means, in the New Testament, it's used to describe abiding joy and contentment. And that word contentment is found in having relationship with God. But in ancient Greek, that word bless was often associated with the gods or the dead who were in a state of bliss. That's pretty strong. So how many like to say, you know, like, God bless you if someone sneezes? The most awkward time that ever happened to me, I was on the Ithaca Commons, and I sneezed. I have a very loud sneeze. I will confess my sins this morning. And it's very loud. But if you've ever heard my father, you would say I've got a very quiet sneeze. But anyway, I sneezed, and this random guy from literally way down the Ithaca Commons, I never saw him, yells, "Bless you." It's the most uncomfortable moment of my life. I was like, "Thank you." You know, like, do I say thank you? I don't know. It was so uncomfortable. If that was you, I see you. I'm just letting you know. I'll never forget it. But that word bless is not a bless you when you sneeze. That word bless is a bliss. It's the bliss that ancient Greeks actually said when you're dead and you're with the gods or whatever they had going there in their beliefs, that was the level of bless. So unfortunately, I think English has kind of diminished the word bless to a bless you when you sneeze. What does that mean? I have no idea. And you move on with your day. But this is a powerful, life-changing, deep joy and contentment. So I just want to keep that in mind as we talk about hunger, because it says, blessed are those who hunger. Contentment is those who hunger. Joy for those who hunger. Bliss for those who hunger. On earth, hunger equals lack and poverty and despair. We have a food center out there to help feed those who are hungry, right? Many of us are blessed or blissed by the food center if the food is good. We'll put that out there, right? Depends on the week. On earth, hunger equals lack, poverty, or despair. But in God's kingdom, hunger equals satisfaction and joy and blessing. So as we're talking about the word hunger, we need to start reframing in our mind what that means for us. You cannot grow without eating, right? If you stop watering a plant, it will die. Just ask me. They all have, every single one, right? And yet somehow we think that if we don't satisfy ourselves in God, if we don't feed ourselves in God, we'll keep growing. And then we wonder why we stopped growing. It's like with my husband, if we stop spending time together, if we stop developing our relationship, we stop growing. And in fact, we might grow apart instead of growing together, right? And we would ask why. Well, we stopped feeding, right? You cannot thrive unless you are hungry. That word thrive means grow or develop well, vigorously, prosper, and flourish. A hungry home is a thriving home. A hungry home is a growing home. Amen? We've been putting some more chairs out on Sundays. I heard some of y'all had to sit next to someone you didn't know. And I had to do that actually yesterday. We had a prayer seminar here with multi-churches. We had 7 churches come together for it. It was so powerful. And I look forward to sharing some of the material over the next few months from it. But man, I sat in the back. So if you're in the back this morning, that was where I was seated. And these chairs are uncomfortable. Has anyone I don't know, maybe that was just me, but I tell you, 30 minutes and I was done. Brian's like, yeah, that must be why, when you're done preaching, we're ready to get up and get out. So I hope your chair is more comfortable than it was for me. But we've had to put more chairs out because people have been kind of squished together, right? And we've been in a growth spurt as a church. And so it's been really exciting. It's been something we've been praying into. And how many know visible growth is really awesome to celebrate, right? It's a great thing to celebrate. But often we miss the inner growth and we don't celebrate that as much because it's harder to see, right? And so we're going to celebrate as much growth as God has for this place as we continue to partner with him. But what we're after is the inner growth that transforms lives. Amen? And those two often really go together in the kingdom. So let's keep inviting people for the sake of our growth spurt in Jesus. Amen? So a growth spurt, I tried to look up what the definition was. Is growth spurt is there a more hip way of saying it, or is that still used today? It's still used? All right. I'm feeling old. I don't know. I'm not that old, but I just want to make sure. But a growth spurt is a short period of time. This is clearly not a definition from a dictionary, but I was trying. A short period of time when they really pack on the pounds and then put on the inches, sometimes literally overnight. It's a very spiritual definition of a growth spurt, right? If you're a girl, you probably remember the last time. It was I don't know, what would that be? Maybe around 6th grade. You were at school. You were taller than all the guys. You felt really good about yourself. You went to summer break. You came back in the fall. All the guys are taller than you, right? That's called a growth spurt. Amen? I kept growing until I was 20. I don't know what was wrong with me. It was very odd. But I just kept growth spurting. So some of the growth spurt symptoms are an increased appetite, an increased agitation, because you can't settle, right? An increased agitation, weight gain, because you're about to grow and use the weight, and increased awkwardness, because your center of gravity has shifted, so they're clumsy. And if you ever wonder what I was like till I was 20, that about sums up all my childhood right there in those four descriptions, all right? That's why a basketball in me did not work, even though it technically should have. But there are all these different kinds of growth spurts. We've talked about the visible growth spurt that can happen in a community, maybe in your friend group. We've talked about the growth spurt that happens in height. But then there's one more growth spurt. And of course, the one Sunday, I think I'm like the only one that's pregnant here today. I don't know what happened there, but anyway, oh no, we've got a couple others that will go nameless. I'm not looking at anybody. I think everything's public, but I'm not going to say look at anybody. So when you're pregnant, you also have a growth spurt happening that nobody can see, right? And I will tell you, at like 10 o'clock at night, my husband has literally driven all the way down to Wegmans to get me a very specific kind of food because I am hungry. And he would not have done that before I was pregnant. Even though he loved me, he would have been like, you're gonna have to eat what's out of the fridge. But because I'm hungry and I'm growing something that no one else can see, he's like, I'll go the extra mile, right? Hunger will cause you to do things, and growth spurts will cause you to do things that you normally would not do, right? If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about if you're a husband, right? But it's ridiculous to a stranger because they don't know what's growing inside of you, right? There is a growth spurt happening on the inside that only God can see, but it changes our hunger, it changes our priorities, and it shifts our reality, even if we're the only ones that know about it, right? You following? So there's a thriving happening here in our community that might seem crazy to someone coming up for the first time because it's not always visible. But it's changing our priorities and it's shifting our reality because the love of God is growing inside of you. The Spirit of God is inside of you, growing. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to be weird here, but Jesus used a lot of parables, so you can kind of see the overlap. So my question to you is, where do you feel an increased appetite? Where do you feel a desire for God in your life right now where you haven't before? It doesn't have to be dramatic. Where do you feel an increased agitation? You can't settle in that area anymore. How many have ever like settled and or been fine, and then woken up one day and been like, how did I ever think this was okay, right? That's an increased agitation. Have had abundance. I chose this word very carefully, right? It was weight gain, right? But weight gain in the spirit, or weight gain, in other words, suddenly you have more resources in one area. You have more time, or you have you got a bonus, or whatever it is. You have abundance in an area where you didn't before, right? That can be a sign of a growth spurt. Or increased awkwardness. Taking risks in faith, suddenly you feel like, you know what? I want to go outside of my comfort zone in that area, and I never have before. That's a sign that God wants to grow you. You following? So these are signs God is setting you up for a breakthrough to thrive or to grow. We're going to land in 1 Kings 17 today. And we're actually going to stay there. I don't normally try. I try to stay in one place, but I don't always. So get your Bible out. Because you can see, maybe, I don't know if you actually can, I can see you, so we'll see if you can see the Bible, or turn your brightness up on your screen. And we're going to land in 1 Kings chapter 17 with Elijah and the widow. All right, so we're going to start at verse 7, and it says, we're diving into the middle of a story here. So if you don't know the whole story, I'm going to do a very quick synopsis, but you can also look it up later. We're talking about Elijah, who is a prophet. And he had prophesied a drought against an evil regimen. And then they were so corrupt that after Elijah in 1 Kings 17 won, they wanted to kill him. And so God sent Elijah to a brook where he was resting and he was fed by the birds. And then we hit verse 7, which is where we're going to pick up, okay? It's a very short summary of a very amazing story. So please look at Elijah. You can always Google Elijah and I forgot the name of the Bible. There's a video series it's awesome that's actually does animations for adults of Bible stories and Bible characters. That's great. So if you kind of look that up, it'll pop up. All right. Sometime later, the brook, that's hard to say, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath, and when Elijah came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. Has anyone ever, like, gotten up from the couch to go to the kitchen to get someone something, and then they're like, oh, and bring me this too, right? That's kind of what Elijah just did to her. So point one, we're going to do 2 points. We're going to kind of break down a growth spurt into this story, all right? So remember, where do you feel an increased agitation and an increased appetite in your life, okay? So Elijah was at the brook. He was resting. The birds were feeding him. I mean, we're talking he had it made, right? He would be singing, what's the song, Jireh, right? He'd be singing, Jireh, right? You are enough, right? He'd be like grooving to that song. And then the brook dried up, and he might not be singing Jireh anymore, right? And how many have been in a season where it's like, man, everything's just kind of clicking in gear, and then suddenly the brook dries up, right? And what worked last time and what fed you last season, what was enough last season, is no longer enough now, right? Suddenly something expires, right? Man, the most horrific story. Probably shouldn't tell this, but Pastor Tom is not in the room, so we're going to go for it. In the food center, are you ready for this? I don't know what happened, but one time, it was last summer, some milk got left in the food center during the summertime. And I was here on a Saturday night with Brian, and I was like, you know, I should just check the food center, make sure everything's clean, doesn't smell bad, you know, we're all ready to go. And I opened that door up, and the milk had exploded. And I try to move it, and it explodes more, and it's foaming. And I was like, I don't care. We're done. We never have to use the food center again. We will feed people another way, right? When something has expired, sometimes it doesn't satisfy anymore. And then other times, it's like, I can't even go there anymore, right? This is toxic. And it wasn't toxic before, but my gosh, right? Ooh, don't worry, there's fresh milk. It's cold outside. It will be kept well, all right? We're trying to get a fridge or something in there for obvious reasons after that traumatic experience. But what quenched our hunger last season won't this season. That's what Elijah found out. The brook dried up, right? If Elijah had stayed there, being miraculously fed by the ravens and resting by the brook, he may have grown overly familiar with what God can give rather than who God is, right? So we can't mistake hungering for God for just hungering for what God can do, right? Jesus isn't like put in your menu order, right? Jesus is a person, right? And we're in relationship with him. If I just wanted what my husband can do for me and I didn't care about who he is anymore, do you think he'd really be very satisfied in the relationship? Probably not. And yet oftentimes we can turn our relationship with God into what can you do for me or what can I do for you, trying to earn it, right? Instead of, God, I'm hungering after who you are. Help me get to know you more, right? Are you following? If your relationship with God is only based on what God can do for you, if God shifts what he's doing for you, you'll find yourself in a crisis of faith because your roots and your foundation weren't as established as you thought. If Elijah's relationship with God was based on the brook, when the brook dried up, his faith might have dried up too. And so this is a year as we're hungering for God, and we're going to look at what that looks like practically. It's not abstract. It's not for the hyper-spiritual. It's not weird looking, right? But as we unpack hungering for God, we need to not hunger for the brook. We need to hunger for the one that made the brook. Amen? It's so important. I love this quote by F.B. Meyer. Why does God let the brooks dry up? He wants to teach us not to trust just in his gifts, but himself. He wants to drain us of ourselves like the disciples had to wait 10 days before Pentecost. He wants to loosen our roots before he removes us to some other sphere of service. He wants to put in stronger contrast the river of thrown water that never dries. Isn't that powerful? A hungry home doesn't just exist to satisfy itself and be ingrown, but to spread provision. Because instead of Elijah putting his faith in the brook, he put it in the one that made the brook, and Elijah followed God's word and direction to the widow, right? Now, the only issue is, we're like, okay, so we went to the widow to get food. But historically, at that time, widows had nothing. They didn't have support. They weren't wealthy, generally. And so it'd be kind of like God being like, Caleb, go to McDonald's and get a ribeye steak. And Caleb's like, okay, I'll go to McDonald's and get my ribeye steak. And we'd be like, are you nuts? But Elijah just said, okay, I'm going to go to the widow. We're gonna do it, right? And so hunger for God, trusting in God, will sometimes cause us to go after the impossible with faith. Does that make sense? When you trust in God's character, your hunger will take you into impossible situations, and you will see the possibility of God moving there because of the power of the Holy Spirit, just like Elijah. So where are you feeling an increased agitation? Where do you feel like a brook has dried up and you're at a crisis of faith, and you're like, God, I can either not believe in you anymore because you're not doing what I think you should be doing, or I'm going to lift my eyes to the hills where my help comes from. Help me get to know who you are. Help me get to know your picture, right? God isn't a magician. He's a storyteller. He invites us to be part of his story, right? History. Amen? So we're almost done here. The second point is increased awkwardness and extra abundance in an area. So Elijah asked the widow for food, and we're continuing at verse 12. Here we go. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and making a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, do not be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her, so there was food every day. Everyone say every day. For Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So Elijah asked the widow for food, and her response is, I have nothing. Have you ever felt like God asked you to do something, and you're like, I have nothing, right? Weakness is actually the environment that God chooses to show up in. So if you have nothing, congratulations, you are the manger where Jesus is about to be, right? That's why I love the Christmas story. The manger is the highlight for me, right? I have nothing. I'm going home to die. This is incredibly life or death. This isn't like I'm going to go home and I'm going to, you know, have food stamps, or I'm going to go home and I'm going to stop by whatever, right? This is, I can't even get food stamps. I've got nothing, right? And praise God that there are options that we can have here so that that doesn't have to be what is said when we're in a place like that, which we all have been in. So if you're in that place this morning, you're not alone there. She was out looking for resources to cook her last meal, and God was out looking for ways to give her meals that never stop. Oftentimes, our desperation, if we aren't pointed to God, will lead us inward and we'll start to crumble. Have you ever started to feel really sorry for yourself, and then all you see is that nothing's enough? I'm not enough. We don't have enough. You're not enough. There's not enough. Not enough. And it's like you just paint it in the sky. There will never, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough food, I am not enough, which guess what? All we're saying is, God, you're not enough. It seems spiritual, it seems humble, I'm not enough. But really what we're saying is, God, you're not enough for me in this place, right? You might be looking today for, you might be at your last resort. You might be looking for a last breadcrumb today in whatever area of your life you're feeling a crisis. But God is looking for how to help you thrive. Amen? Amen. I'm sure the widow felt really awkward responding to Elijah with her reality of lack and giving up, right? Like this man of God shows up and asks you. It'd be like asking me for like a Lamborghini, and I'm like, sure, I'll go home and get it, right? We'll be really awkward and make that happen for you, right? That's kind of the extremeness that this poor woman was experiencing. How much more awkward must she felt going back to her house in faith, right? But her awkward response turned into her day of breakthrough. Never underestimate an awkward response to God, an uncomfortable response to God, because it can lead to your day of breakthrough. God is breakthrough for you in your hunger. Wherever you feel like this is the end, this is it, God is saying the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry in your life until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. That's what he's saying over any area in your life where you feel like this is it and this is the end. He's saying, I'm going to help you thrive in the very place you thought you were going to die. Amen? There is something growing inside of you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And his provision is healing from generational brokenness. It's freedom from addiction. It's wisdom during difficulties. And it's courage to heal. How many know choosing wholeness is a courageous step to take? It's the bravest thing you can do. Whatever that oil and that flour is to you, God has more than enough for you. Amen? We cannot judge what's possible by what we've been used to. Have you ever done that? Well, it wasn't possible in 2024, so why would it be possible in 2025? It can be like a cynicism that enters into our faith. Now, there's cynicism, and then there's, well, I'm gonna lift 50 pounds. I know that's a low number, don't judge, right? I'm gonna lift 50 pounds. My husband, he's been doing the deadlift challenge. He's about to do another challenge this month. I don't even know what it is. If you wanna join him, talk to him. It'll be at the gym. But in December, he did like this deadlift challenge. I don't know how much I could brag on him, but I don't even know what it was. I am a good wife, I promise. But it was hundreds of pounds, right? Deadlifting. And if he was like, on December 1st, I'm gonna do this, right? And then he didn't ever go to the gym. That's not called faith. That's called stupid, right? There is a difference, okay? But it's equally important, right, that we not judge what's possible by what we've been used to. But we also take a step of faith towards what we're praying for, right? That's also important. But dried brooks, empty cupboards in last season, they don't need to be what nourishes our soul. That addiction, that isolation, that loneliness, whatever that is that fed your soul in 2024, it doesn't have to be in 2025. Because the place you wanted to die, God wants to help you thrive. 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We have to believe that God's ability to pour out is more than our ability to miss out or run out. You have faith. The question is, do you have more faith in yourself that you're going to run out or miss out, or do you have more faith in God's ability to pour out this year? It's not a question of if you have faith. It's a question of where is your faith directed? Where is your trust? Where are you expecting? Are you expecting to keep running out? Are you expecting to keep missing out because of what has happened? Or are you hungry for what's possible in God? Suddenly, the widow had more than enough, not just for herself, but for her family, right? I'm just closing here. This is verse 15. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord. Why don't you just stand on your feet as we close here? I like to do that just so that we're ready to then like race out the door. You ready? You're in your right position. Some of us heard our series is called Hungry Homes and thought, oh great, another reminder, I'm suffering at home. I'm not enough at home. There isn't enough at home. For real. I had to think through that myself, right? I've been in times when the fridge is bigger than what is in the fridge. But a hungry home in the kingdom means something different. Through Jesus, hunger for God, a desire for God, pain is turned into purpose, lack is turned into faith, agitation is turned into expectation, and awkwardness is turned into breakthrough. That's the story of the widow, and it can be your story too. Amen. What does it look like to be a hungry parent, a hungry spouse, a hungry friend, a hungry worker, a hungry for God, to clarify? Priorities are different, we respond differently, and we persevere differently. Hunger equals abundance, it equals blessing, it equals joy. It's not a superficial, it's a bliss. It's a weird word, we don't use it often. But it's a deeper reality that as we hunger for the reality of Jesus, this reality, our priorities in it start to shift. And we have to realign what works, kind of like Pat's word of the clock. It's like what was wound tightly, maybe God is wanting to reset in our life because we're hungering after his reality. So we're going to unpack this more this month. We're going to get practical. This isn't for the hyper-spiritual. This isn't like an ethereal hunger, right? This is a real daily hunger that you can have in your home. Notice, I didn't call the month Hungry Church. We called it Hungry Home because an hour of hunger a week and eating a week will not make you grow. It's a daily hunger. It's a daily coming to God. It doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't look religious. It looks like a relationship. Amen? So we're going to look at that practically. Next week is Kids Sunday. It's going to be awesome for the kids. They're going to do all these games. And yes, we'll have a Super Bowl food thing out there because we're preaching about food, hunger. We got to eat. I'm just saying, right? But we're just going to continue to get more and more practical. So just say with me, if it's not too weird, I know we like to say things in this church, especially when it's cold, just keeps us alive. I'm in a growth spurt. There you go. I know, if you didn't think, I just preached on being awkward. What do you expect, right? We got to be awkward together. I want to bless you this morning as we close. So I just bless you with a new hunger for Jesus. God, we ask right now that the pain in this room, you would begin to turn it into purpose. God, that the lack in this room, in our lives, you would transform into faith. Father, we ask for areas where we are feeling agitated and annoyed. God, that you would shift that into an expectation for what you are doing, into a bigger picture, a bigger story than just the little tiny sentence we have. God, that any area in our life that feels awkward or uncomfortable, Father, we ask right now that you would transform that into an area of breakthrough. And God, we lift our eyes from any dried brooks up to you, because God, you are the provider. More than any provision you can ever give, it's who you are, and you are enough. So stir up our hunger in Jesus' name. Amen. We don't have a Bible study this week. Instead, I want to invite you, this is something I've been doing the last month, to put a 12 o'clock alarm on your phone that's a prayer alarm, and to just pause and pray. I've been praying for you all every day at 12 o'clock, maybe you're like, oh, that's why that was a weird thing that happened at 12 o'clock. Let me know, right? But put a 12 o'clock alarm on if you want this week. And just pray for whatever God has for you to pray for. Maybe a name will come to mind, maybe something in the church in your life. But if you don't know what else to pray, just pray, God, make me hungry for you. Show me who you are today. The more you really see who Jesus is, the more hungry you will be. If you're not hungry, it's because you've had a misrepresentation of who he is, because he's better than you could imagine. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.